I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. About a month ago, Trevor Melanson at Vancouver Magazine had a piece whose title asked the question, could Vancity Buzz ever dethrone the Vancouver Sun? A couple of weeks later, Chris Laquan, the lifestyle editor at Vancity Buzz, was named one of BC Business Magazine's 35 most influential women in the province. That Vancity Buzz is ubiquitous online, whether in one's Twitter or Facebook feeds, is without question. But the website has been getting a lot of criticism about what it publishes, how it goes about gathering the content on the site, as well as what the site actually is. Joining me now to shed some light and respond to the growing concerns of readers and non-readers is Vancity Buzz's editor-in-chief and one of its partners, Farhan Mohammed. On the 14th of January 2016, Vancity Buzz published a story that went viral. The site had obtained an internal memo from the Vancouver Police Department seeking information on some so-called Middle Eastern men taking photographs at the Pacific Centre Mall here in Vancouver. I remember getting a text from a friend who's not online at all, who had gotten it from someone who had seen it on Facebook. I looked elsewhere online and couldn't find anything. It seemed that Vancity Buzz had scooped the media in this town. I'll ask Mr. Mohammed to shed some light as to what happened that night and the days after. Hours after this scoop, there were more questions about how Vancity Buzz went about publishing news about that internal memo. A lot of that criticism came from journalists who have, for the most part, discounted Vancity Buzz. As a news consumer, I thought it was important to find out more about this site that's a part of a lot of people's day online. The night of the 14th of January, I wondered aloud on Twitter about the possibilities with perhaps a more substantial news team. This began a conversation online that night between me and Farhan and my extending an invitation to appear, which he's graciously accepted. I'll get him to tell us about the people around him, the numbers, and where they intend to go from here. Do they want to dethrone the Vancouver Sun? VancityBuzz.com is the address. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in person today, Farhan Mohammed. Mr. Mohammed, good morning.
Hey, Joseph. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it. So, I guess, first of all, congratulations on being the second best local blog. That's from the readers of the West Ender.
The West Ender. Yeah, you know, it's great that people are thinking of us. We've been getting these honors for quite a number of years now, and every time we get them, it takes a little while for us to find out about it. We'll end up going on these websites and these publications and seeing it, and it's funny because we look at it and say, well, that's great, but we're not a blog anymore. You know, maybe that was us 3, 4, 5 years ago, but that's not us anymore. So I even sent a tweet out and I said to the West Ender, thanks for it, but we're not a blog, so that's it.
Yeah. So whose fault is it then that you're perceived this way? I mean, we were chatting just before we started that you guys get a lot of criticism for your work at Vancity Buzz. Do you think a lot of it is stuff that you've perhaps brought about yourself?
Yeah, you know, in terms of perception, I think it's the fault of us. I think it's the fault of other media. I think it's the fault of just general readers. What are we anymore? What do you call online publications other than a publication? What do you call BuzzFeed? What do you call Vice? What do you call all these sites? Are they blogs? Are they just a website? I've heard little bits of everything. So for us, we just loop us in when just call us a publication, one word answer, and that's it, as simple as that. But definitely we can be doing things that that help to change that perception. I know a lot of people think of us in a way that they did circa 2013, and we've changed a lot since then. I remember I was talking on Twitter with someone, and I said, we've changed a lot over the past 6 months or 12 months, and he said, that's not a long time. And to me, that is a long time. That's substantially quite a long time. In today's world and the way that things are moving and the pace that they're moving at, a day seems like a week seems like a month seems like a year. So for something that happened 6 months ago, to me, was almost a generation ago in our world.
So you talk about the shift that you all took 2, 3, 4 years ago. Why did you decide to make it more than a blog?
You know, I joined on in 2012 at the end of the year, and the publication has been around since 2008. When I started, we were doing about 500,000 views a month, and I came in and saw, this is nothing to joke about. We've got massive numbers right now. Our following is pretty huge. But as time went on, we started realizing that people start, we're just following us. We would run a story hours later than everyone else, or a day later, or 2 days later, and we saw that we were getting more traction than everyone else was online. So we realized we have this power, let's try and see what we can do with it. And, you know, there was that gap between small blogs that were doing a few posts a day to traditional, who was doing 50, 100, 200, if you look at all the syndicated and aggregated content. So we said there's room in the middle, and let's see if we can hit that. Let's see if we can give people the things that matter and only the things that matter. And rather than giving you a few things and rather than giving you way too much, if we go in the middle and we're still staying hyper-local and still giving you everything you want to know that's happening in your community, add in a few things on top of it and some different sections, but essentially giving you what you want and only what you want, throw in a little variety in there. But that was what we saw. We saw that there was the hole there, and that's what we went after.
So 500,000 then. What is it now?
Last month we did 7.5 million just in Vancouver.
And just to compare that to, say, sites that we've come to rely upon, like the Strait, the Vancouver Sun, the Province, those sorts of sites?
Well, I remember back in towards the end of 2014, and our numbers back then, I think we were doing about 750,000. If I remember correctly, could have been completely different. But it was at that time that we were passing the Province. I've seen some other media talking about their numbers, and you know, it's all over the place sometimes. But for us, it comes to I don't like comparing our numbers to others. I know what we do, and I have an idea of what they do. But we look at it from a local standpoint. You know, we're not serving the world. We're serving Metro Vancouver, and with that 7.5 million, majority of them come from Canada, and there's still a large chunk that comes from Metro Vancouver, about 65% or 70%. So we know who our readers are. We know that they're local, and I've seen some of the numbers that say that these other publications aren't as focused locally, and they get a lot of their traffic from elsewhere around the world.
There was a piece on the Canada Land website in October where I believe it was you were quoted, vowed that you would do better.
Mm-hmm.
From then to now, considering the Pacific Centre's mall incident, do you think you have?
Oh, absolutely. I think every day we're doing better, and every month that passes by we're doing better. I think we, you know, in hindsight, I look back and there were maybe some minor tweaks that we would have taken, but I think we did the right thing. I had friends that worked in other companies, other media companies and publications, who said we would have done the exact same thing. You did nothing wrong. So, you know, not to talk about that, but I think from the team that we had 3 years ago, where we really had three people that were running the site day to day, to now our numbers, we went from two full-time staff at the beginning of January 2014. We had eight at the beginning of January 2015, and come next week, we'll have upwards of 20. So our staff has grown. We're trying to bring stronger people onto the team. It's a tough world being in media, where you need to make money, you need to bring in revenue so that you can do the good things that you're doing. And I think sometimes that's people lose sight of that, and they think we're just in it for the money. They think we're just in it to get hits, but on the contrary, we're trying to do something here. You look at New Year's Eve as an example. 3 years ago, we sat down as a team, and someone gave the idea that we can put on a New Year's Eve celebration. It was something that hadn't been done in the city since the early 2000s, and you know, let's try to do this. Why people were bitching and complaining about it, let's do this as a team. We quickly realized that you can't do it as Van City Buzz. Mm-hmm. So instead we looked at it and said, okay, well, we have this power and this influence. Let's bring the right people together. So we brought on the DVBIA, Tourism Vancouver, City of Vancouver, a whole bunch of different partners, and we said, let's make this happen. We partnered with Brand Live as well, who do the Celebration of Light over the summer. And we had this team, this celebration society, that we said, let's get the funds necessary. Let's try to do this. So we tried in 2014. It wasn't doable. We just didn't have the funds. We said, okay, we're going to do it again the next year, and let's keep trying and trying. Yeah. And we did. And just December 31st, 2015, we held the largest free celebration in Canada with 80,000 people.
Yeah.
So we realized we have this power. Let's try to come up with solutions to problems that Vancouverites are having. And now we're looking forward. And what's next? What's the next solution that that we can have? And what's the next problem that we can solve in this city?
To the New Year's Eve thing, I was just thinking about that as you were saying that 80,000 people went to this thing. Well, why was it the night of, when we were watching this on Global or listening about this, the Police Chief Palmer was even hesitant as to the estimate of the number of people there? They were lowballing the figure, and I don't know if you were. Well, I guess you were there. So, but you know, on TV or whatever I was listening to, or online, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think
because the official figure came out a day or two later, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it was one of those things that when you look back to 2011, to me, we as a city were scared to do something
after the Canucks.
Yeah, after the Stanley Cup riot. You know, it wasn't organized the right way, it wasn't done the right way, and things hit the fan. So, you know, we had everything in place, we had all the right things in place. I wasn't so heavily involved, a couple of our team members were, so I was looking at it a little bit more as an outsider, but everything was good. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was organized. If you were down there, you saw that. Everyone was behaving well. It was one of those situations where it was like the Olympic feeling all over again, that we had a mass number of people gather together and we were just celebrating. And that was it. We came together as a community offline and we did something and we made something happen. And, you know, it showed us that we as a city can do these kind of things. And I hope moving forward that 80,000 people came together on one night in one place. Let's start doing more of these things around the city.
So what were people afraid of, I guess, as a part of the organizers? Were they obviously, safety is tantamount, paramount. Were they concerned about a riot? Were they concerned about terrorism, maybe?
You know, those are questions that I definitely can't answer.
Yeah.
But I would assume those would be concerns.
Yeah.
You know, just as they would be in any major city.
Yeah. Proximity to water. Fireworks, fire going off, I guess, in the middle of the night. You mentioned a moment ago about 20 people, I guess, so that makes up the editorial team, or is that sales
as
well?
No, that's our sales team, that's our admin, that's our creative department, that's our editorial team. Our newsroom, our editorial team itself is 8 people, I believe, right now.
Sure.
We're adding some more bodies as well.
Yeah.
We've got one person in Calgary as well, that's part of our Calgary site called Calgary Buzz. And in the future, we're looking to add more to it.
So give us a view into what it's like to work there. If you are, say, in the editorial department and you're covering news, say, you were in charge of the tip that came in for the Pacific Center Mall story, are people assigned beats?
Yes and no. In a vaguely speaking way, yes. There are things that people are more interested in, so they are go-to. We've got someone who's more interested in food and arts and more newsy type of stuff and lifestyle as well. But our whole goal is that all of our writers can cover pretty much anything and everything.
Yeah.
That way we've got a very lean but versatile team. That said, you know, I think the common misconception is that we get a tip or we get a story or we're looking into something and all we're doing is we're writing it without verifying anything, without, you know, checking the boxes that need to be done. But to speak to that, that's how we used to be.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, this is like pre-2013, pre-2012. That we would see a story, and we didn't even cover much news then, but when we did, we would look at something and say, all right, well, let's just write about it. And then we graduated to, well, someone else has written about it, let's source them, and then let's link to them. And then now we're at a point that if I was to, you know, give a ballpark figure, I think 99% of the stuff that we do is original. Even if we see someone else covering a story, we are going to do the work that's needed to make sure that it's all verified, it's all accurate. We're going to make the calls that are needed, and we won't publish anything until we have at least a confirmation on that.
But do you have, say, a person who's covering the school board meeting or the council meeting or the press conference at the police department?
Yes and no. Again, it's one of those things that as the hyper-local publication that we are, we have to think, is this worth the time? Obviously, there's hundreds of stories out there that I wish we could cover that we just can't. So we have to look at it saying, is this something that's affecting a large enough chunk of the population? If so, let's cover it. If so, let's follow this story throughout the days and weeks and months. Our whole mandate as a team is this making our city better? You know, we're here, and in my eyes, we have a responsibility to better the community and ask those questions that need to be asked. And if someone's doing something well, we will praise them. If there's something that isn't beneficial for the community, we are going to call them out on it and ask those questions. But that said, you know, we don't have the manpower and capacity that we can have someone sitting at City Hall when there's meetings going on and following that through. I think we've got good enough relationships around the city, and we're continuing to build them, that if there is information coming out, or if there's an announcement coming, or any kind of press conference happening, that we can get that information before it even goes public. That as it's going public, we're getting that information, that we, you know, we're contacting the ministers or the councillors as it's happening to follow up and see what's going on and ask those questions. And we've done that a lot over the past year at least.
But publishing a press release from a department is stenography. It's not journalism per se.
No, we don't do that. And again, one of those misconceptions that people think, and this is how we used to be. We would get a press release, we would change 5% of it, 10%, and there was our story. Now, if we get a press release, you know, I've said vocally, I hate press releases because it does nothing for me other than that there's some quotes in there. We'll throw some quotes from it, but again, it's doing the works necessary to turn that into something and see that, you know, if you're getting a press release from the BC government, which is great, and there's quotes in there, but we've many times seen that and said, okay, this is great, but let's get our own quotes. I want to talk to that minister involved and get it from his or her own words rather than whatever the staff has crafted.
Or talk to the opposition for their take.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. You mentioned 20 people in the next little while will be part of this team, and you said you're bringing in stronger people. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean more, say, former journalists, say, or
yes,
people with backgrounds of journalism?
Background that that they're coming in and they can make our team better. Back in 2014, we brought on someone who was the editor down at the LAist, part of the Gothamist network. Just in October, we brought on another senior person who worked at the Guardian and worked at Yahoo, who was, you know, journalism by profession. Our hope is to bring on more people that understand online, understand journalism, they have a background in it, they can come in and they can make our team better and stronger, and they can alleviate all these misconceptions or help to alleviate these misconceptions that we are just a bunch of people who don't know what the heck we're doing.
And so is it being part of the team, does that involve, say, not only, say, covering a story, whether it's food or fashion, but also, say, writing or contributing to the advertorial part of that?
No, we've got a creative team that works directly with our sales team, that they are the ones that are working on that.
One of the knocks for your site and other sites like yours is that advertorials were not clearly defined as advertorials.
Oh, 100%. I remember back when... just before I started, or even when I started, we weren't tagging things, and then we went through this process of, okay, we were adding a little footer at the bottom of every sponsored post. Now we're putting things at the top and the bottom, and we're trying to make it more clear. It's tough. I think as a publication, we're looking at it and saying, how do we be as transparent as possible? And even when we are, I've seen comments where people say, you guys need to mark this better. You need to make it even more transparent. And in my eyes, how much can you do? You know, there's a certain point that you want to pop up in your face saying, this is sponsored. Do you really want to continue reading it? But in my job as editor, I throw it to our creative team and our sales team that if we're going to do sponsored content, it still has to be good content. we're not going to do things that don't make sense for our site and that don't, they're not added value to the reader.
So, I think if Trump wanted to buy space, would you sell him space?
Oh, it depends. If it was for the tower, potentially. You know, that's not my decision, obviously. But, you know, that would make sense to me. We have people who are looking for condos. They're looking for places to live. We've got readers from overseas who are looking for places to invest their money here. So it's not that... you know, that wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. But I guess the question that I had, and not specifically Trump, but someone who is of a distasteful character came to you and said, hey, I want space. Would you sell it to them?
Again, that goes to our sales team. However, from, you know, being on the leadership team on our with the company, we make it very clear that we do have values and that we're not just, for lack of a better term, bending over and taking money from anyone.
Yeah.
You know, we want people to understand and know that that we're not just in it for the money. If we were in it for the money and we just wanted to make a ton of it, we could be doing things very differently. But we have a plan and we're trying to stick to it. And we've got ethics and we've got values that we're sticking to. And we're trying to grow as well. We're trying to show people that we are the go-to in the city, and regardless of what it is that you need, whether it's food or news, sports, entertainment, arts, events, we have it. And show people that, you know, you can trust us. We've got millions of people who come to us. The last thing that I would want to do is for them for us to lose that trust.
So the other night I had to look up what places were open. This was 2 a.m. what places to eat were open, and sure enough, when I Googled, I guess, 24-hour restaurants Vancouver, an article from Van City Buzz came up, whether that's the best coffee, the best sandwich, articles like that. Are those lists, are they put together with the same editorial rigor that you would expect a news story to be put?
Yeah, 100%. We've got a food team and we've got food writers that put the time in to make sure that those are good places. It's tough because all these lists, sometimes they're all subjective.
But the perception is that restaurants are, say, paying to get these lists.
No, absolutely not. No. If that was the case, you would see it on it. You would see it marked on it that this is a sponsored post. We're trying, as gray as it is, we're trying to make that line between editorial and advertorial and sponsored posts very black and white. I think it's tough in today's world to do that, but we're trying our best. And I think that we're doing it relatively well compared to others out there. You know, there's others who will not be marking things and who will put things up and you look at it thinking, wow, this is a great piece. Oh, and I wonder if they got money
at the bottom. Yeah,
yeah. So we're trying to make it very black and white again. To me, I don't even want to compare it to others. I want us to set the bar and say this is how we're doing it, and you can do it however the heck you want to. It doesn't matter to me. But if we are staying transparent and we're staying true to our readers, then I think we're doing our job.
Has the business been affected by the Pacific Center incident of mid-January? Did you see? I mean, just not in terms of business, I mean, I'm interested in that, but also just in terms of the credibility.
You know, I think for
did
one
that
thing,
take a hit?
I don't think so. I think if anything, what it did is it showed us that we can cover things like this, that we have this impact and we have this power at the same time. You know, it's kind of like that Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and it's exactly that. Every single day, we're questioning the things that we're publishing, and we are making sure it answers a few different questions. Is it local? Is it affecting local, the local community? And is it something that everyone around the community is talking about? Is it something that's trending? So as long as it hits one of those, then we will talk about it. If it's sensitive material, then we will go through the right channels to make sure that it's something that we even can publish, that we're not going to ruin someone's life over it. I think it's, there's this misconception that we're out to spite people and we have this agenda and we want to bring others down and we're here to harm others. But that's very far from the truth. we are, you know, the last thing that I want is someone's life ruined, and for someone, for us to publish something and someone's company tanks, or someone's, yeah, someone's life gets ruined and their reputation gets ruined. That's the last thing that I want, because I think of it, what if it was the other way around? So we want to make sure that everything that we're putting out is factually correct. And even with our news pieces, sometimes even our writers will want to throw opinion in there, but to me, let the readers make their own opinions. Give them the facts. You look at our content, we keep it very simple, very black and white. We try to remove as much opinion from it as possible and just say, here's the facts that you need to know. Come up with your own opinion and you know, think what you want.
So these three gentlemen from Manchester, whose photographs were published on your site in that memo, the mayor met with them after all of this happened. One of them said that he was thinking of suing. Did that go forward at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Did you? I know you exchanged tweets with the one fellow. Did you not?
I just threw something out there and said
you wanted to meet.
Yeah, let's chat.
Yeah. Did you?
No.
You tried to meet, and were you rebuffed?
It got to a point that legal matters came in between, and we said we've done whatever we can, and that's where we'll leave it.
Did you speak to the mayor at all prior to his meeting with these gentlemen?
No.
In your statement the next day, on the 15th, you said that the morning of the 15th, you spoke with the VPD's media team to confirm the chain of events and provided them with details regarding how we obtained VPD confirmation of the memo. In terms of the conversation that you had with the media team, did they ask you who your source was?
No, you know, and to keep it as simple as possible, because to me it's in the past. It happened. We were over it. You know, to me, I look to the future now, but it's as simple as, and this is how we would handle anything like this matter, regardless of what the situation was. We got a tip, and we followed up with it. We got the information that we needed, and we verified everything, and then we published it. Those were the steps that we took, and those are the steps that we would take on any story in the future. So that's kind of it.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're telling, you had this conversation obviously with them on the morning of the 15th. Did they ask you who your source was?
No, it wasn't a source. So,
or where you got the memo, perhaps?
Yeah, and it was a memo that had been, I guess, leaked around.
Sure. Did they think that because you could have come about it one of two ways? Someone may have given it to you who had this, or I don't know, to be nefarious, to think the worst, somebody may have stolen it from a computer or something like that. Did they ask you of the two which it was?
Yeah, I was very clear. And and this is the thing, we have a really good relationship with VPD and their media team. Whenever we get information, I think, you know, if I was to ballpark it, we speak to them at least two or three times a week. You know, that is when there are things happening, and we need to talk to them. Even a week or two ago, we had one of our editors go, and there was some VPD training that was happening, and we had one of our editors spending time there, and so we have that great relationship. The last thing that I want as an editor would be to ruin a relationship with VPD, and that our lives would become a lot more difficult. The company would be put into a situation. So if anything, you know, you don't want to mess and piss off the police.
Sure. Did they lecture you at all, saying that maybe you shouldn't have published it?
No, we were very clear with them, and they were very clear with us, and we moved forward in a very, you know, to me, I don't think anything changed from it, and we've been talking ever since.
Presented with the same tip today, would you do the same? Would you have done what you did? Would you do what you did, I should say?
I think we took the right steps. I think we did everything in the correct way. I think the only, and I've been vocal about it, I think the only thing I would have changed was to take some wording out of that headline, and that was it. But I think everything else was the same, or would have been the same.
And I guess the tweet where you signed off, I guess, on Twitter that night and said, "Stay safe." Would you have done that again?
You know, people definitely read into that way too much. I've said that many times. You know, it's one of those things that I'll say. I remember we were looking and. At any time that things are happening, it's always just like, you know, stay safe out there. And that's it. To me, the people who follow me on Twitter are my friends, or at least most of them are. To me, the people that I follow are my friends. And if I'm in a, you know, just like you're talking to a friend, just stay safe out there, regardless of what you're doing. You're going on a plane ride, stay safe. You're going for a bike ride, stay safe. So that's it. There was nothing else to it.
When you saw the memo, did you think, because a lot of people had mentioned this online, about the racial profiling that was in the wording of that memo? And is that something that VanCityBuzz would probably want to discuss further in terms of a conversation about how police perceive the people in the city?
You know, I think the next day when the police chief was talking about it, they made their position very clear and their stance very clear on it.
But I mean, after Ferguson, after Black Lives Matter and that sort of thing, I mean, it is a conversation that we ought to be having in the city. And, you know, we're talking also, you know, currently about the missing and murdered women, inquiry that the federal government is about to have. I mean, in terms of race and the sort, I mean, this was an example of how law enforcement looked at people in the city.
Yeah.
And so
well, I think for us, when people said, you know, had it been someone of a different ethnic descent, would you have published it? Would you have talked about it? I said, if that was the case, we would have talked about it regardless of who that was. So, and we would have published that regardless. So that, to me, had nothing to do with it. Yeah, I mean, I'm of East Indian descent, so I'm Muslim, so to me, I didn't really look into that. That was a.
So we're talking now a month and change after all of this. I mean, there have been lessons that you've learned.
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely things that we've learned. Over the past few years, there's been every day there's different things that we're learning and how to go about things and how to do things a little bit differently and things in a bit of a better way. So to say that we didn't learn anything would be false. We definitely learned a lot. I think the biggest thing was that we learned more about ourselves and what exactly are we doing both in Vancouver but also in the media landscape and how is it changing and how can one story, you know, really run the city and change the city and all of a sudden everyone's talking about it and it showed us that we have this power and we need to be very responsible with it and we need to be questioning things every single day. I've put it out to our team over the past many months even that why are we doing the things that we're doing and what kinds of things are we publishing and does this matter? Is this something that's important to Vancouverites and our readers around the world? Just why? Why are we doing what we're doing? And I think that's something that people have, you know, don't know about us. They think that we're just going to publish everything and anything that we see and you can send us a tip and we're just going to write about it. We get, you know, our inbox is flooded every single day and we have to be very selective with the things that we're publishing because of time constraints. I wish that we could cover things to no end, but we're also trying to shine a spotlight on the city and the things that need spotlighting. I remember just back last fall, we were looking at homelessness and Union Gospel Mission was doing some great work and we said, how about we partner together and tell stories about the people who have come out of those really unfortunate situations and are doing something with their lives. And we spent a couple weeks doing that. And it was a project that took us months to put together. So it's things like that that we're looking at now. What's the next step? In the whole month of December, we spent time speaking with community leaders and community thought leaders and asking them, what is your resolution for your industry in Vancouver in 2016? And I'm really proud of that work that we did and the stories that we were able to get out. because we understood and found out that there's people in the entertainment business, in the arts business, in food, in politics, that all have these different thoughts, and there's different things that they want to see in their city in 2016, and we're going to be focusing on that this year. You know, what matters, and how do we create a better Vancouver, not just locally, but for anyone who comes into our city?
The criticism, though, from journalists is what fascinates me, because I followed journalism and have for a number of years, especially since doing this program. I mean, what is that like to go through? I mean, along with, say, legitimate criticism, there's a lot of vitriol, a lot of hate.
Yeah, there's there's definitely a lot of hate out there.
But do you think, just to talk about the criticism, that some of it is legitimate?
Oh, I think so. But to say that I don't agree with it, you know, it's the same things that I've been thinking of. You know, the Reddit community hates us, and I remember I've been reading many threads that have been talking specifically about us. And as I'm reading these, I'm thinking, this is all things that are in my mind too. You know, I've been thinking these, and I agree with you. And the thing is, people don't think that we think that way. So I think it's kind of ironic on one hand, but a lot of it is warranted. We've changed a lot over the past few years. But again, it also comes to it's our fault in a way. In our eyes, we've said, we just don't have the time to go out and talk to everyone. So instead, let's let the work speak for itself. And, you know, I think that's also just something that's been the fault of ours, that we've taken that mindset, because people will think Vancity Buzz, and they'll think, you know, 2013 and 2012, they were just publishing press releases, and they were just copy and pasting, and that's just how they were, so that's how they must be today. And it's funny, because I'll talk to people, and they'll think of us that way, and they'll talk about us in that way, and I say, you know, we have an office downtown, and we've got staff, and we do things this way, and these are the processes that we follow, and these are the procedures we have, and we have all these things in place. And have you read the content that we put on the site? And did you see that we get the quotes on our own, and all these sources told us directly, and we do 30 plus posts a day, and we're bringing you content on an hourly basis, if not minute by minute basis. So we've changed a lot over the past many years, and I think some people just don't see that.
So you do concede that you've let the haters define you?
Oh, yeah, in some way, yeah. Only because we haven't addressed them head on. I think it's the way that online has gone in some ways, that sometimes you don't want to get into those conversations because you know the way they're going to go. You know, some people just have this personal vendetta to bring you down, so you can't even start a conversation with them because you know the way it's going to go, and you know that you're just going to end up in the mud regardless of what you're saying, so it's not even worth it.
So what do you make of why they criticize you and criticize you all so vociferously? I mean, do you think it's bitterness on their part that say, whatever legacy media organization that they once belonged to doesn't have the eyeballs that you all have?
I think that could definitely be one of them. I think it's tough because there are so many publications that have come out over the past decade that are doing the same things that we're doing. And, you know, people, you look at, you know, not to compare ourselves to them, but you look at what BuzzFeed did. And they started as this lifestyle site that, you know, you could even call them a blog back then. And look how they've developed to where they are today. So, yes, we're not at that scale, obviously, and in no ways am I comparing ourselves to them. But we've done those same, we've taken those same kind of steps where we solidified ourselves as this lifestyle event blog and this go-to for what's happening around the city. And we've evolved from that. Over the past almost 8 years that we've been around, we've gone from this site that this blog that was telling you what's happening around the city to this go-to for everything in the city.
I guess what in my view of it, because I'm not a journalist, but you know, I mean, I consume journalism as a citizen, as a news consumer. I guess what I'd like to see is Vancity allay the concerns of its critics. I mean, these local journalists, as it was quoted in the Canadaland piece, you know, they shudder or sneer with contempt, you know, at the mere mention of your website's name. How do you change them? And I think, don't you think there's a responsibility that you ought to?
Yeah, and you know, the ironic thing about it is that I've had, over the past year, I've had journalists who have vocally criticized us, and then they'll come and ask us for a job. Hmm. And so in my eyes, we're doing the right thing. I think people see that. Myself and my two partners, we're all business grads. And so the way that we look at it is we want to do good work, but at the same time, we have a business to run. And we're not backed by anyone. We've been bootstrapping ourselves since 2008. And we're not, you know, that's the way that we've been going, and that's how we're looking to continue to go. I think there's people who see what we're doing and understand that why we're doing it and how we're doing it. There's others who don't understand it at all.
Is that a generational thing, maybe?
I think it's a mixture. I've spoken to people who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s who understand what we're doing, and they are, you know, like mentors to me, and they're people who I turn to for advice. But on the flip side, I've spoken to people who are in their 20s and 30s who you would think that since they grew up in this digital age that they would understand what we're doing, but in fact they don't, and they think that what we're doing is absolute rubbish. I think everyone's different. You know, the one thing that I can say is that while And to me, I'm pretty. The way I say it is, it's a pretty proud moment where all these traditional outlets are laying people off, where we're hiring. So clearly, we're doing something right. We've been hiring since over the past few years, and we're looking to grow even more and to get into more cities and continuing to replicate this model that we have, and still get better and better.
By the way, the name Vancity Buzz, I mean, that's the one thing that probably turned me off of the site to begin with, because I thought of the bank, or the credit union, I should say.
Well, we get calls on a daily basis asking for loans and asking for how to open up an account.
So I guess it's too late to change it,
right? Yeah, it's a little bit late for that. you know, the more cities we get into, we'll probably be looking at ways that we can consolidate under one name and maybe go through some kind of changing so that people, you know, rather than having Vancity Buzz and Calgary Buzz, maybe we just have some kind of buzzing name.
This figure that was in the Canada Land piece from October said that, and I don't know if you told them this, but it was quoted that Vancity Buzz, in terms of their revenue, it's about six figures a month. Is that
right?
Yeah.
And we've said very openly that we've experienced hockey stick growth, and we've, you know, So we have about 20 people on staff, and the way that I look at it is, essentially, our people get paid competitively, competitive wages.
Competitive to whom? To other, like, say, the legacy media salaries?
No, because I know what they make, and being a lot of them being unionized. I worked at the Sun and Province for a few months, and being a young 20 in my 20s, I got paid very handsomely.
Was that in journalism or was that in sales?
I was in sales at that point. So I understand and I know what they're making. And I've spoken to people who work there or are looking to take buyouts, and they've said, you know, I wish that I could come and work for you. But I know it's going to come at a salary hit. I wish I could do it. So people's lifestyles are in that way. But if you just do the simple calculations, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, roughly how much we're making.
Mm-hmm. And how do you so why then are you making money and say the Sun is struggling, or Pacific Press is struggling?
I think we've
or Post Media, I guess they're called now.
I think we know how to sell digital. It's still a struggle in today's world. You look at every publication and every social network, everything is all ad-based and ad revenue-based. which makes it difficult. Sometimes I wish, like, I wish that there was another way, but right now that's the way that it has to be done. But it, so it's selling the product in such a way that that we're able to survive and thrive.
We touched on real estate a moment ago. We're having a discussion in the city about just how expensive it is to live in the city and the rise in property values. There's a lot of blame to go around. Do you folks at Van City Bus take any of that blame because you've championed development or say bringing in investors from elsewhere?
You know, I don't think anyone's really pointed the finger at us on something like that. So that would be the first time that I would hear that.
I guess I'm pointing the finger, and I'm just wondering if you take the criticism as valid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're looking at ways that how do people survive here? How do people live here? I was having a conversation with someone the other day about well, you know, why would you want to leave Vancouver, and how are people leaving Vancouver? And we just published something over the past couple of weeks about someone's story on how it's become so difficult to live here. So to us, you know, we're starting to ask those questions. We've been asking those questions, but we will start to do it more openly.
Critically?
Critically as well.
But won't that hurt then the business of getting, say, these advertisers? I mean, I know I'm blaming you, but I mean, the Georgia Strait's guilty of this. If you look at their paper, it's wrapped in ads for developments and, mm-hmm. and condos and sort. It's always been like
It's always been like that. I think people are looking to... There's still a large chunk of people who are looking to come into the city. And for us, we're looking at ways that how do we keep people here? And from a talent perspective, from a Vancouverite perspective, the one thing that I always hear is it's rare to find people now younger who have been born and raised Vancouverite. I'm born and raised here, so I'm fortunate enough that I can say that. But I know many others who aren't, and it seems like we're becoming an anomaly now.
I guess because you talked about what Van City Buzz's mission is, and if you're there to celebrate the city, how do you do that if it's changing so quickly and it'll be unrecognizable the way it's going 5-10 years down the line?
Yeah, well, it's making sure that we still keep that culture around and we still keep it thriving. The one thing that we look at is what's going to happen in something like the tech sphere, where it's becoming a challenge to keep talent here and get people to come to Vancouver. And so questions that we'll be asking are, well, is it really that unaffordable to live here? Is it something that it's just is it just something that people are thinking, or is it actual fact? And why is it that that's the case? Is it that wages are significantly lower here than they are, let's say, out east or down south in some places, versus the cost of living? But then also, I also know a lot of people who have come here from other parts of the world, especially places like Toronto, and they come here because of the lifestyle. You come because, you know, I will take that hit, and life might be a little bit more difficult and a little bit more unaffordable, but look at the lifestyle I'm inheriting. So it's this twofold thing that we are looking at, and we will be asking those questions that, you know, how do you stay here, and what kinds of things can you be doing as a young person? How do you afford to live here? Is it something that you need two jobs? Is it that you shouldn't be living downtown? So what kinds of things can we be doing to help push that conversation?
Who do you view as competition? I mean, Bob Kronbauer at VancouverIsAwesome.com had a piece, and you know, the two sites, I guess, started around the same time, and you know, he talks in his piece about how Van City Bus has just gone elsewhere. So he doesn't view himself as your competition anymore, but I mean, I'm curious to know, who do you have in your targets? I mean, will you dethrone the Vancouver Sun?
I think our competition has evolved. Back in, you know, a few years ago, it was these small blogs. I think it's changed only because of the kinds of coverage, the things that we cover, and the immediacy that we have. It's tough to be in this news game, you know, because if you're not getting things out first and right, and you're going to be left behind. So I see that. So in two ways. One is that, you know, it's not really looking at competition, that we need to be the best that we can be, and however else everyone is going about their work and their jobs is their own business. But it's also, you know, solely based on the viewership, it's companies like CBC, like CTV and Global and BuzzFeed a little bit. They cover more national, international, and Vice to some extent, and it's looking at those players instead. But that's not to say that blogs aren't, in a way, competition, because they do the kinds of pieces that we do, except they'll do one or two a day, and we'll do, you know, 30 to 40 a day. So it's this weird space right now, and I think it's still being defined. But as we continue, for us, we're not looking at anyone else. We want to do the best that we can do, and continuing to be better and do better, and diversifying our content. There are probably about 500 to 1,000 different ideas that we still want to pursue, that we just haven't had the chance to, and we don't have the manpower and the capacity to do it. So we will be looking to expand the things that we're doing and expanding our coverage. And you've seen it over the past few years where we really focused on the arts industry, and we focused on food, and we focused on sports. And like, what else are we going to be focusing on? So how else can we diversify our content that we are really becoming that go-to for everything in the city?
I guess I want to know if you'll invest in news. I mean, if you look at the success of CanadaLand and how that's crowdfunded. I mean, you have revenue in the six figures every month. Couldn't you invest some of that in terms of, say, journalists and reporters on certain beats?
Oh, absolutely.
Will you?
Well, we've already started to. I think the tough thing is that from, like, looking at it from a business standpoint, it's a lot harder than people might think. So, but that said, we are looking at ways that how do we have stronger content and maybe more investigative pieces? But then it comes back to, is that even things that our readers want from us? So those are questions that we're asking. We're always monitoring, and we're always asking them that, you know, is this working, and is this something that you want? If it's not something they want, then we won't do it. Strategically speaking, there are things that we do, even though we know it's not going to do well. But I think that's the case with every other outlet, that you'll see a story and you wonder that this happened 3-6 months ago. Why did nobody talk about it? But that's just the thing. So we're looking at ways that, how do we be better? How do we get stronger? How do we give our readers more of what they want? I think the one thing that we do differently than traditional outlets is that, you know, rather than telling people what to think, and rather than giving them information that they don't want, we do it the other way around. And we've been that way ever since day one, and we will continue to be that way. That, what is it that people want? And we will give it to them, and we will push the bar a little bit, and every single day we will continue to push it. But we have to look at it from, you know, who are our customers? Our customers are our readers, and what is it that they want from us? So we are growing, and at the same time, we're looking to our readers to help, you know, define what it is that we are and what it is that we do.
So what did they tell you? I mean, or what do you see them going to when they go to Van City Buzz? Is it those lists of the best places to eat?
It's everything, and that's the thing. Yeah. You know, I think
sports and
it's sports, it's arts, it's food, it's news, it's art, it's entertainment. And the one thing that I see is that so when it was about a year and a half ago, we realized that people were only following us. And you would look around and people would say, you know, you're the only thing I see in my feeds, you're the only thing that I follow. So we started questioning it and saying, if we are the only thing you're following and you don't follow anyone else, do you have any idea what's happening around the world? So the answer that I got a lot of was, no, we have no idea. So we got one writer and we had a columnist, and what they did is they would do a roundup of stories that were happening around the world. And every single week, ever since September, I think, 2014, we've been doing this series that's on things happening around the world that you need to know about. And what it is, it's just these little bites of information to tell you this is what's happening in other parts of the world, and these are things that you need to know about. And so it's been going really well. There are 9 things normally every single week, so we'll be picky and choosy a little bit of what's happening. But it's those kind of water cooler discussions that you can be having with your colleagues. Just to know, but at the same time, you'll also get links so that if you're really curious about what's happening in the Middle East, if you're curious about what's happening in Africa, you're curious what's happening in Europe and Asia and all these things, you can read more into it.
But I guess we looked at the media for stuff that we need to know about, because, I mean, it's like a kid. If you asked him what he wanted for dinner, he'd probably say candy or popcorn, stuff that's not healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you need to be a little diligent in terms of not just giving people what they want and maybe what they need to know?
Oh, absolutely. And that was it. So with this world, these things that happen around the world, this roundup that we do every mm-hmm. week, it was one of those things that I was sitting down with one of our editors and we were watching the news, and I started thinking, we're in this little Vancouver bubble. We have no idea what's happening. So if we're feeling this way, maybe others are feeling this way. And we put it out, and the first thing that people said was, thank you so much. This is exactly what I needed. I have no idea what's happening, and now you're helping me. So it graduated from that, and we started doing some good news roundups and, still these bite sizes that you can digest very easily, staying true to who we are and how we've done content. But we're going to be pushing that button a little bit more, and we will be asking those questions, and we'll be giving content and seeing how it works, and I think we do that on a consistent basis to see. Sometimes we have no idea how things are going to work and how people are going to perceive them. We have an idea, and that's what makes us who we are, but we are continuing to try different things. And on the investigative side, on the news side, we know that people are asking questions and they want certain things, and we've opened it up sometimes. We have a tip line that people can send us things, and we get questions all the time saying, I saw this and I have no idea, can you help me out with it? So we will continue to bring people exactly what they want, and then at the same time give them things that they didn't know they wanted. And give them things that they probably don't want, but they're going to want to know anyways. And it's a constant experiment. It's constant trial and error. But it's just, it's in a roundabout way, it's just being better at the same time.
So you will do better. I've extracted that promise from you today.
Oh, I've been promising that since day one. I think when I came on board, I looked at the site, and as great as it was, there were a lot of things missing. The quality wasn't there. But it wasn't the fault of anyone. It was, we created this beast. You don't get to 500,000 views by just publishing random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was this community that had come from it. So looking forward now, we are going to be trying to do different things. And I think if you read the site on a daily basis, I think you'll see that you're getting really good content. And I think that, I think a lot of people are thinking that. And in my eyes, that's why people have stuck around so much, is that they see what we're doing, they like what we're doing, we listen to them, we get feedback, we try different things, and we're really trying to build this community and further ask questions and wonder, why are things happening around the city? How do we do things in a better way? We looked at New Year's Eve as an example, and we were able to do that, but what's next? What is that next problem that we're having in the city, and how can we help facilitate those discussions? Is it talking to experts and bringing them to sit at a table and asking each of them, how do we solve these problems? Is it hosting town halls? What is it that we can do to better the city? Because in my eyes, we're not just this publication. In my eyes, we are where we've created this community, and we have people that that come to us on a daily basis. They come to us for their single source of information. And if that's the case, then we have this responsibility to be asking more questions and doing better, and even asking as a whole, not just us, but asking people in the city to be better. You know, holding government officials accountable, holding business professionals accountable, that what are you doing in the city and how are you making it better? So we are going to continue to ask those, and we're not going to stop, because to me, our job is never going to be done. It's continuing to evolve, and we will be putting every ounce of effort we have into this.
Well, I appreciate you starting a conversation here, at least, in terms of what you all do, and I hope it'll continue. I hope you'll come back, and because I'm sure there'll be other questions and the sort, and we can check in from time to time. But for now, I appreciate you coming in to do this. It's been informative for me and hopefully for those listening.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
The website, vancitybuzz.com. Farhan Mohammed, Vancity Buzz's editor-in-chief and partner, joined me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.